Black are gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Episode 22, Black Heart Gold Podcast, coming at you live from lovely Davenport, Iowa, Hawkeye State. Oops, pal. Oops, what's shaking?
Not a whole lot, man. I think that since we're on the big 2-2, the XXII in Super Bowl language or whatever that is, I think it's about time to rename this thing the Black Heart Gadsden Purchase.
Hey, the initials work.
See?
And thanks for fitting in Gadsden Purchase in the first 30 seconds. I don't have to worry about it so much anymore.
That's a new record. We're going to have to just open up by saying Gadsden Purchase in the next one.
I think so. It's much like when Santino got thrown out in the first second of the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago. We can't get any better than that now.
Right. Yeah. Right. We have a guest.
We have a guest. Yes, that's right. We're recording Tuesday night on the eve of National Signing Day, and we're joined by Brian Cook of MGO Blog to talk a little bit about Big Ten recruiting. Brian, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Dandy.
Well, the big story, and I know I've seen Brian's opinion on this, but I kind of want to get him to talk about it a little bit further. The big story nationwide about Big Ten recruiting this year has been the kind of one-year exodus of the best players in the Rust Belt from the Big Ten. Matt Hinton at Dr. Saturday talked earlier this week about the fact that the top four players in Ohio are not going to Ohio State. The best player in Illinois is off to USC. Even the best player in Indiana is not staying in Indiana. I can't imagine why that is. But, Brian, what's your opinion on why we're seeing this kind of trend away from staying home this year?
Well, some of those kids weren't really from the Midwest. Like, the number one player in Ohio is a linebacker named Jordan Hicks who grew up in Texas, and it's unsurprisingly going to Texas. So that's sometimes that happens where you just get transplants. And then the other guys at the top of Ohio, like Laquan Anderson, is sort of a, I don't know, they were apparently behavioral issues with him at St. Ed's, so he got kicked out reportedly for punching a teacher, which is, you know, probably suboptimal behavior. Tressel, for all the crap I would love to give him as a Michigan fan, usually doesn't really put up with jokers
with teacher
very much
punchers
anymore, because he doesn't have to. Say what?
He doesn't put up with teacher punchers?
Joker. He kind of, I think he got burned by the whole Claret thing, and now he's been, I mean, he's boring, right? So he likes his program boring, and that's what he's achieved at Ohio State. So one of the things I still can hate him for is the fact that he's so unbelievably dull. But it's probably just a one-year thing, especially, and if it was a trend, I think it would probably be combated by the fact that this is the year that, you know, the Big Ten finally had a good bowl season, got over the BCS hump, and it's once they start recruits in the area start realizing that maybe, yes, the Big Ten can be a place where you will actually win a bowl game, they'll stick around.
Well, usually this the trend of on-field success to recruiting success is usually about a 12-month delay. So do you expect more Rust Belt guys to be coming to the Big Ten next season just on general principle?
Yeah. The thing, Ohio State's not going to get shit out of the top four recruits in Ohio next year. I can guarantee you that. There's, you know, guys like Trey DePriest is supposed to be the best linebacker in the country or close to it, and he's probably going to go to somewhere around here. Ohio State and Michigan are probably the two leaders at this point. Most of the guys in Ohio are talking local. I haven't really looked at the guys in, like, Illinois or Indiana, but the Michigan guys are probably going to stay local as well, although they will have options. You'll see some guys escape, but you'll also see, you know, the Big Ten pick up some big prospects from around the country. I don't think that one year is going to undo almost a decade of poor press, so it's still going to be a bit of a struggle, but it'll be easier next year.
Now, Michigan did a pretty decent job of, well, at least the two Michigan schools did a pretty decent job of keeping Michigan guys home. According to the Doc Saturday report, of the 7 4 and 5-star guys in Michigan, 6 stayed in the Big Ten. And the vast majority of those, I think, pretty much stayed in Ann Arbor and East Lansing. Is that right?
Just about Robert Bolden, I believe, is going to Penn State, and I'm not sure if there's a, I think Austin Gray is a 3-star, so he wouldn't be one of those guys, but he's going to Iowa. And there's, you know, a couple more that are going around places in the Big Ten, but Michigan guys mostly stay at home. But in the past, like, whenever USC has come in for a big recruit like a Ronald Johnson or a Nick Perry, they've gotten them, so it's not like Michigan is immune to that.
So as far as Chantrell Henderson, he's going to Ohio State, right?
Probably, yes.
Either Ohio State or Iowa?
I kind of stopped paying attention to his recruitment once Michigan had gotten, like, they actually supposedly led early in the process, and then, you know, the season happened, and nary a word about Foster Huntington was ever said again by Michigan fans, so I'm not really up to date on him, so.
Well, Iowa pulled their offer for him about a week ago, and what I keep hearing is that basically Henderson might have still been possibly, you know, dark horse interested in Iowa, but that when he decided to take his official visits elsewhere, they basically said, screw it, we'll go find a safety. And raided Northern Iowa for a safety today, actually, which is like, yeah.
Yeah, that's been Michigan has pulled some guys this year where it was like, yeah, you had offers from those guys where it's like, I don't know, there are a couple MAC schools and stuff. It's been kind of a weird year. Not quite as weird as the guy who just got a Notre Dame offer whose other offer was from William & Mary.
dude.
Which really just happened. And it's like, that's not going over well with the Notre Dame fans who are unhappy that Brian Kelly is not Bob Stoops.
My favorite from yesterday was Rittenberg was talking about the late offers that came in, and Illinois had about 3. And one looked like he had a semi-legitimate set of offers around him, but they got a fullback from Louisiana whose two offers were Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech, and Zook was just ecstatic. I don't think Zook even uses a fullback, does he?
No, I don't think he does. But they only have 18 commitments, and they're not good commitments either. And I don't think that this is the kind of Illinois team that has to limit its amount of commits. Like, I bet that if they could be at 25, they would be.
Yeah, that's probably the death knell for Sook. That's a guy who basically made his career on recruiting and then driving those kids into the ground, but they still have some talent. So if he's not recruiting at a very high level, he's doomed, right?
It's awful. It's Indiana-esque.
Yeah, isn't that the Loxley effect here? I mean, lose your the Ed Orgeron of the North, and all hell breaks loose in Champaign.
That's true, and it's the same thing that happened at West Virginia, where they lost Doc Holliday and then lost basically half their recruiting class. Like, 3 kids decommitted from West Virginia to go to Marshall, and that's like,
ooh.
Wow. Like, how does that happen?
That's like, this blowjob's great, but how about a hand job?
Now, as you probably well know, Brian, our opinion has always been that on recruiting, caring is creepy. So I don't pay that much attention to it. I've been vaguely seeing that it looks like Penn State's kind of got the consensus number one class, and Ohio State and Michigan close by. Is that kind of what you've been seeing as well?
I don't think it's that close. Penn State is far and away the best class, and they would have an even better class, except they've had a couple of high-profile decommitments of late. But Penn State is your Midwest recruiting champion this year, and I think given the number of kids in the class, Ohio State is a clear second. Like, if you look at the rankings, Michigan and Ohio State are about on par, but those always have a bias towards much larger classes, and Ohio State has a small class this year, and Michigan is going to take 26 or 27 kids. So in terms of bang for your buck, I think Ohio State's got a considerably better class than Michigan.
Are any of the 26 or 27 Michigan kids safeties? You guys need safeties.
There are three safeties in the class right now, and the last two guys Michigan is waiting on signing day are also safeties. So,
nice.
Yeah, and then there's like a couple linebackers who might also be safeties. So yeah, the secondary has something either will have either 6 to 8 commits on signing day. So they kind of went out and got some guys, which thank God. I mean,
yeah.
No offense to Jordan Kovacs, but walk-ons at safety or like walk-ons at quarterback, and we unfortunately experienced both of those wonderful events the last couple of years.
Hey, we got a walk-on at safety. Watch yourself.
No, but
I know.
He doesn't try.
We get it.
Like,
we know. We know all too well.
Iowa and Wisconsin, like, they're always like, oh yeah, here's this white walk-on who has no athletic skills whatsoever and is totally awesome. It's maddening because we pull our guy out and he's like, he can tackle, but he can't run. And, that's kind of important.
Well, with Henderson still sitting out there, the only, state in the Big Ten that's kept all of their, 4- and 5-star guys at home, Iowa, baby. 1 for 1.
Who's the 4-star guy at Iowa?
AJ Derby stayed home.
Oh, that's
after,
right.
After, Urban Meyer said you'll probably play tight end. He said, we'll give you a quarterback spot.
Yeah, that's a good.
That's about
we're
it.
We're kind of fortunate about the fact that our recruiting coordinator, Reese Morgan, has no offers to go anywhere else, so we don't have to worry about the mass exodus that could come from that. Or I guess he's not really our recruiting coordinator, but he's always kind of like the Svengali of Iowa.
Yeah, well, the thing with Iowa is they had that one really great recruiting class which totally busted out, so you guys are probably like, allergic to 4-stars. You don't want them around. You just want the
when they had the Army All American game this year, and they did they had the Polish hat, and Donnell and Derby all put on their hats. And I had flashbacks to 05 that it was like
it's happening.
It's going to happen again.
Iowa has got to have like the worst negative conditioning when it comes to recruiting, because not only are all the 4- and 5-stars like turning into peanut brittle and not learning how to play sports, but all the heroes like Bob Sanders and Robert Gallery and Dallas Clark are like 2 stars at best. So whenever we see some guy like coming at the very end, we're like, yes, great new All-American. The guy who runs a 6'3" and bench presses marshmallows. He's our guy, because it always works out that way.
Yeah, that did not work for Michigan. I think we tried that, and we're going back to the 4- and 5-star guys eventually.
If only you'd hired Ferentz when he had the chance.
That's right.
Yes. That, you know, in retrospect, Brian Mount might still be around if that happened. I'm not sure about that, because Brian Mount was kind of flaky from the beginning.
Yeah, head case.
Yeah.
The amount of pain that Michigan has experienced and the amount of bad press that, like, really taken the program down a notch or two, I think Ferentz would probably have not allowed that to happen. But then again, we'd be paying him, like, what, $8 million a year? To get him away from Iowa, I don't think that was ever going to happen.
Well, you might not have had Mallett, but you definitely have John Winkie. So
that is true. That
would have been the future for you guys right there.
Yeah, that would have been the future. We have a pretty decent future at quarterback now, just if we ever get to use it is the thing.
Yeah, there's a doubt about that.
What's his health situation? Is he going to be 100% by spring or fall?
Fortier?
Yeah. Because it was a torn labrum, right?
Yeah, I think you could see that it was only slightly torn. So he had sort of a big dip in his production in the middle of the season. And then by the end of the year, he played pretty well against Purdue and Wisconsin. And this is going to be a big caveat, but here it is. When he wasn't throwing one of his 5 interceptions against Ohio State, he had a good day.
So he's like the Washington, D.C. of quarterbacks. Like,
yeah.
Aside from the murders, it's a great place.
Exactly. So I think he was pretty okay by the end of the year, and we'll see in spring practice. They also got Devin Gardner in for spring, so the Uber recruit is in, and we will all drool over him. But I'm hoping that he doesn't see the field, because I'm really sick of freshman quarterbacks.
Now, Ryan, which class of the Big Ten schools you think has probably the best chance of being a surprise down the road? Which one has the most number of sleepers?
That's a tough question because it has to be Iowa. Like,
yes.
You know, Minnesota got totally destroyed by deep commits, and you know it's not going to be Indiana. I guess Purdue has also done surprisingly well. They've picked up some good commits. They've been picking up guys that had state offers and Wisconsin offers and that kind of stuff. So usually Purdue's not going to be getting guys that have other major Big Ten offers, and they've done a lot better. And then at this point, I think Iowa just knows what they're looking for. So the guys that Iowa gets are going to fit the program extremely well. I mean, that's how you can get an Eadsen and a Tyler Sashen, and you know what an Iowa guy is at this point. So that sort of long-term stability of the program makes it easier to pick up so-called sleepers.
You couldn't hear it, but I was doing the fist pump like the Situation on Jersey Shore there. I also have the abs.
I could.
You drew those on with marker, dude.
Well, now that we've gone awkward twice in a row now, Brian, before we call it a night, I have to get your opinion on what is quickly becoming the Michigan Blog Civil War of the Month.
of the month.
Maize and Brew put up a post talking about how they needed to pump in music for, sporting events in general at Michigan. I believe it started with a hockey game or a basketball game. I'm not entirely certain, but.
No, it's the football.
Oh, it was a football.
Okay. They've always pumped in at the basketball games, and they never pumped in at hockey. So, but football was made the switch this year, and it was a controversial thing. There was no Black Eyed Peas, at least.
Yeah, and believe me, you're better off without. You're much, much better off without. But you took umbrage with that post, especially the reliance on 80s hair metal, which led to.
Yeah.
Well, so the Mason Brew saying that you weren't up for the cause of freedom and you were basically a communist.
You guys know that is not true. I'm like the vice chair of the Stanley Lemon 212 committee. You guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're Secretary of the Interior once they get elected.
That'll be awesome. I'm gonna make sure that all the elk in the country move to Michigan so they can play offensive line. Wait, that's not a good idea.
This will be the first ever, sports blog Teapot Dome scandal. I like it.
First ever.
Well, maybe not the first ever, but, you know.
This is 2012, so there's probably going to be at least four by then.
What is your opinion on, first off, 80s hair metal? And second, what its presence in football games?
80s hair metal is fine when you're playing Rock Band because it's totally unironic. And that's fun when you're pretending to be a rock star. But when you're at a football game and it's playing, it's always playing about three notches of volume too high, and you've already heard it 1,000 times because they play it at every sporting event, and also it's just not very good.
Right.
There's only so many times I can hear the intro to Welcome to the Jungle in a 2-hour span, right? Like, and the thing about pipes and music is it's never used in moderation, and Iowa fans know this. Because I remember leaving the Michigan-Iowa game just thinking, tonight is not going to be a good night. Tonight is going to be a stabby night.
Has the criticism been, because I know I've read it on your site and elsewhere, has the criticism always been the Michigan marching band that is not loud enough during games?
That's a large part of it. That you're a large section of the stadium where you just can't hear them. And that's, I think, the main motivating factor, which is unfortunate. I mean, if they're going to blare something, you know, at least make it, I don't know. No, there's no, I had this whole period during the season where, like, maybe we can make peace with it. And then they started playing Bob Seger during incredibly critical, like, video reviews. Not even commercials. Like, your very future is being decided on the field, and somebody's playing Bob Seger at ear-piercing volume, and it's just like, there can be no truth with this scourge. It must be eliminated. So, no justice, no peace, no compromise.
So, do you think that maybe, at the very least, they could have like themed days. So like September 26th or whatever that Saturday is, it's like indie rock. And so you got the Shins, or like there's got to be a happy medium here somewhere.
I just rejected any happy medium in favor of jihad. So I can't agree with you. They did like, there's a very Detroit theme, because they played the Bob Seger and they play the White Stripes and they play the Journey song, Don't Stop Believin', which of course talks about South Detroit, which is actually Windsor, Canada. So there is sort of a theme, but it's a very stupid theme. And the thing I took the most issue with in the Mason Brew post was suggesting that when there was a penalty, they should like play a jokey song like Breaking the Law,
no. That's minor league hockey, Bush League.
Exactly. So. They do it at Joe Louis Arena, and it's just every time it's one of those involuntary eye roll things where it's just like, seriously?
Right.
I don't know.
I told Michelle before we started tonight that, you know, we would try to be peacemakers here. But it sounds to me like there will be no peace until one side is.
There will be no peace.
At which point we have to say it's a triple threat match and we're jumping in and we're bringing all of our black eyed peas with us.
Woo!
Yeah!
I don't even know what side you're on. Like, there's the.
We're the X Factor, baby. <Yeah. laughs>
You are the X
Factor. We're just going to keep fighting everybody. We want both Sweet Caroline by the Marching Band and I Remember You by Sebastian Bach played simultaneously. During games. Deal with that.
That would actually have some novelty value for me. Like, that would be, the first time that happened, I would laugh. And then, like, every 10 seconds when it happened again, I would get progressively more and more stabby. I think there's a theme here that it's stabby time.
After the last 2 or 3 years of Michigan football, it's really, really hard to blame you for that.
Oh, well, the basketball team, I mean...
Oh, we're straight past stabby. If right. we stab anything now, it's ourselves.
Yeah. With tortilla chips. So
but Michigan had like big time expectations in basketball this year, and so I think you guys knew going in that Iowa was going to be bad.
Yeah.
So it's always more painful if you're hoping for them.
Yeah, what the hell, man? Is it, I know it's the hallmark of bad teams to blame your best players when things don't go right, but is this all Manny Harris's fault?
I don't think it's all Manny Harris's fault, but Manny Harris hasn't gotten any better. So he's basically the same player he was last year. And then, so they're not all that far off, but if you look at KenPom, they outperformed their expected record last year, and this year they're like one of the unluckiest teams in the country. So Minnesota, too. It's pretty weird. Like, there's like 3 Big Ten teams right at the bottom of the standings. They're like 337th out of 340 teams in terms of like luck, which is just like. And then the hockey
Big
team,
Ten fever.
Like, yeah, the hockey team is like the Duke of hockey, and they're not going to make the tournament this year for the first time in 20 years. And it's just like, I want to die. I want to die. I want to die.
It is your winter of discontent.
It is. It's been really shitty. So, but what can you do? Stab. That's what you can do.
Well, Brian, I can't let you go without asking for a way too early prediction. How's it Michigan going to be a football next year?
8-5.
That works.
Maybe.
Win the bowl game?
Although.
Maybe. It depends. I'm a little bit worried that what'll happen is that Michigan will go like something like 7-5 and get dragged into the Outback Bowl just because they're Michigan. And then they'll get clobbered by some SEC team.
Yeah.
Being in that bowl.
Well, but the last 2 years, the SEC team has been a truly putrid South Carolina and a slightly less than putrid Auburn, but still one that Northwestern took to overtime. If you get in the Outback Bowl, you're probably going to see another 7-5 team. So that'd be fun.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the SEC might be a little bit deeper next year just because I would assume that LSU has to be better because they won't be screwing around with the quarterbacks. They'll actually have a returning starter there. And Auburn will probably be better, and the guys at the top will maybe fall off a bit, but not enough so that I'd be happy seeing Alabama in the Outback Bowl.
Right, right.
Well, with that, we'll let you go, Brian. We'll remind our readers and our listeners to catch you at MGO blogs if they aren't already. At Brian's site, you can get more news about Iowa than you get at ours. So,
well, I do talk some superior trash about Iowa State whenever anyone brings them up as a Big Ten candidate.
Absolutely.
So.
And we appreciate that. It's not really needed. It's like talking superior crap about the mobility of handicapped people. Like, everyone already knows, but it all the same, it's good to know that you're on the side of righteousness.
I spent like 45 minutes, like, searching your site for that Iowa State uniform that had Beat Iowa on it.
Oh, yeah.
I like, read every post on your site about Iowa State now, and I finally found it.
They were pretty glorious. You should bring those back. Really, we should be campaigning for that.
Well, it's just the students in the seats that wear them now. It does as much good as it did back then.
That's right. 35-3, motherfuckers. All right.
So with that.
With that, we'll let everybody go and call it a night. Thanks again, Brian.
All right, no problem. Bye.
Have a good night.